want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the podcast. I would like to start off and say a prayer for Erica Kirk. I just pray, Father, that you would heal her broken heart. I pray for her children. They don't even understand. I pray for all those that have been hurt by Charlie Kirk's death, those that are grieving out there. And I pray for every person out there that's grieving over the loss of a loved one. I pray the mercy and grace of God be upon everyone, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, it's a sad day in America when a person is standing there or sitting there in this case and speaking to a group of college students and is gunned down in broad daylight. It's really sad to see that happen. You know, all week, the news of Charlie Kirk's death, him being assassinated, has been on people's minds. And like I said, it's a horrible thing. When a person becomes so full of hate, so deceived that they'll kill another human being. And all he was doing is peacefully engaging in discussions about Christianity, politics, morality. You know, Charlie Kirk was doing a great work speaking to the youth who were being brainwashed in college campuses all over America. And, you know, I'm hearing reports about how his death has had a major impact on many people in various places in the world. And yesterday, as I was thinking about this, the scripture came up in my heart, John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, this is the Lord speaking specifically. He was about to go into Jerusalem and die for us. But it could apply to people who follow the Lord and walk in his footsteps. Look at Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. This says Christ can be magnified by a Christian's death. We're certainly seeing that in the case of Charlie Kirk. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, Christianity is the only life I know of where you gain when you die. Isn't that wild? Okay, let's look at the Word of God, what the Word of God says about perilous times in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, hang on a second, okay, I want to check, make sure my recorder's going. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, difficult, hard, trying times shall come. Now, verse 2, we'll look at what makes it perilous time. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We saw that. That's why a lot of people oppose Charlie Kirk. They despise those that were good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, I prophesied about 12 years ago, and this is the prophecy that came forth. As iniquity shall continue to grow up in the hearts of people, so shall violence increase in the earth. And I've watched that. And that's what this scripture is talking about. It says perilous times. And you read about all these iniquities. And right here in the scriptures, it says we're going to live in dangerous times when people act like what's described in the scripture. But you know what? I say this, too. I always like to exhort people, we can live under the shadow of the Almighty. Turn to Psalm 91, start in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. Skip down to verse 7. And you know, this verse right here has been in my heart. I said, this is going to happen in my lifetime. Thousands shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Okay, go to Matthew 24, verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation, this is people, shall rise up against nation. That's what we saw Wednesday. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, various places. And some of you say, well, Scott, what you're sharing with us out of Matthew 24 is the beginning of sorrows and then the great tribulation. But we're going to be caught up with the Lord before the great tribulation. Well, that's what you've been taught, but that's not what the Word of God says. And all I can say is do what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, because I'm going to go over these scriptures. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding all things. Okay, let's look at this when the Lord's coming. 1 Thessalonians, because you know what? It's better to know the truth and get prepared than it come upon you suddenly and you're not prepared. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, Charlie Kirk is asleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this is the rapture of the church, being caught up in the air with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So all of you that have lost loved ones, if they died in Christ, you're going to see them again. If you are in Christ. See? So, I just want to comfort everyone with that. All right? You'll see them again. So here it says, when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. So, when the trumpet sounds, the Lord is coming. But there are seven trumpets blowing in the book of Revelation. So when we can figure out which trumpet is blown when the Lord, which trumpet it is that is blown when the Lord comes, then we'll know when he's going to descend from heaven to get us. Okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There it is. Okay, so now we know which trumpet. It's the last one. There's seven trumpets blown in the book of Revelation. At the last trump, the Lord is going to descend from heaven and come and get us. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right. The Lord is coming to get us when the last trumpet sound, which is the seventh trumpet. Turn, and so when we, as we look at the book of Revelation and we see when the seventh or the last trumpet goes off, then we know when the Lord's coming. It's that simple. Now, I've heard other people talk about pre-trib, mid-trib, all this stuff, but they were always vague. None of them were clear to me. You know, it says the word of God is all plain to him that understands. And that is my job as a minister to minister knowledge and understanding. So, because once you get understanding of this, it'll become clear and then you can see it. You don't have to say, well, so-and-so said this. And I don't even care if you use my name. You'll say, let me take you to the Bible and show it to you because it'll become plain. Okay, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever. Okay. The seventh angel sounded. So this is the seventh trumpet. Now let's read this in context to see the time frame when this last trumpet blows. Go back to verse 3. I'm going to read the Amplified. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses. They shall prophesy for 1260 days. This is 42 months, 3.5 years, dressed in sackcloth. Now, this is clearly, these are the 3.5 years. This is clearly during the time of the Great Tribulation. And these two witnesses are two prophets. And we'll see later, we'll see this later in the chapter. Let's continue on. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing for the God of the earth. Now skip down to verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, and notice it says they're going to be prophesying for 3.5 years. It's the whole time of the Great Tribulation. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that sent out of the bottom pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now this is at the end of the Great Tribulation, because we just read that these two witnesses prophesied the whole time of the Great Tribulation. Now go down to verse 10. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. You know, there were some people that were so sick, they were rejoicing over the death of Charlie Kirk. That's sick. It doesn't matter how much you disagree with somebody. To rejoice they got killed? My God. That shows a condition of heart that's really, really wicked. And I pray for those people that they would consider how evil it is to rejoice over someone dying. Because if your heart just continues to wax worse, you're going to reach a place where there's no hope for you. You better turn back while you got the chance. Okay, they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them which dwell on the earth. Now, Charlie Kirk wasn't tormenting these people. But these two prophets were. They were tormenting the spirits in these people. They were tormenting the Antichrist spirit. Okay, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, entered into these two prophets that were laid dead on the streets of Jerusalem. They stood upon their feet. Great fear fell upon them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld it. Now go to verse 15, and we shall see the seventh angel blowing the trumpet. This is the seventh trumpet. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 15:52, when the last trumpet blows, the Lord will come. Now this is in the context of being at the end of the great tribulation. Let's read it. Seventh angel sounded. There was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever. Okay. Now, I totally understand those of you that have been taught all your life that we as Christians will not go through the Great Tribulation. You will have a hard time receiving this. And so what I would encourage everyone, read this chapter and see for yourself. But I'm also going to tie other scriptures confirming that this is when the Lord is coming. So we see the seventh angel blows the trumpet, and this is after all the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Now, this tells me that during the Great Tribulation, the Lord, through the body of Christ, I'm going to show you that later, is going to take over all the kingdoms of this world, and they will become our kingdom. We're going to take over Iran, Iraq, all the European nations, all the nations of the world. I don't know when this will start, but by the time the Great Tribulation is over, all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of Christ. He will rule over all of them. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15:23, and I'm going to show you how the Lord is coming to get us after he's put down all rule and all authority and all power. And I'm going to tie this into what I just read, or what it does. It ties it into Revelation 11 that I was just reading. 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So, it's talking about the coming of the Lord. So if you read the previous scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, it's talking about how Christ was raised from the dead, and those that die in Christ will be raised from the dead. And then here it says, they'll be raised from the dead at the coming of the Lord, which is the rapture. And we read that in Thessalonians 4. Now, the next verse tells us when the rapture will take place. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Let's read that again. But every man his own order, Christ first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. See, Jesus raised from the dead, and then when he comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and power. So those that died in Christ will be raised up to meet the Lord in the air at his coming. And it says here, after the Lord is, it's going to happen after the Lord has delivered all the kingdoms of this world up to God the Father. And we read this earlier, later in this chapter. It says again, when the dead will be raised at the last trump. Let's read that again. Go to verse 51. See, we're reading 24 in the 15th chapter, and we read this earlier. Then it goes on to 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So all the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord at the end of the great tribulation. Seven trumpet blows. The Lord comes to get his people. And I encourage you to go back and read 1 Thessalonians 4:14 again. It ties it all together. The more we go over these scriptures, the more clear it will become that the body of Christ will go through the great tribulation. Now, this scares a lot of people because the Lord, before the Lord takes over all these nations of the world, the Antichrist will try to make every person take a mark, where you can't buy or sell. And without that mark, without that mark, you can't buy or sell. But I'm going to show you that the Lord is going to take care of his people during the great tribulation. See, what I've heard here is the people that believed, they did believe we're going through, they would talk about storing up foods in cans and living in caves and going and hiding. I don't believe that at all. My God, we're going to rule in the earth. During this time, we're going to be a strong, I'm going to show you this later in this podcast. We're going to be the strongest people, those that get their soul restored, the strongest people that ever walked the earth. And we're going to go for the Lord working through us, taking over all the nations of the world. Let's look at the Lord taking care of the body of Christ. Turn to Revelation 12, the next chapter. Verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now that may be the 12 tribes of Israel. Some of this other I don't understand. God, the way God does this with me is he'll give me some truth and I just keep building it, put it together. There are still lots of things in the Bible I do not understand. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. I'm not going to get into the 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns because I don't know much about it. But the dragon is a devil. And there's certain, some of the stuff I've already gone over, but I'm still getting it established in my heart. So I have to, I know that I don't have it established in my heart if I have to keep going back and read it because I forgot what it said. Once you get it established in your heart, you won't ever forget it. Okay, verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, this is where everybody gets the teaching that a third of the angels followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God. Verse 5, and this woman brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. Now, the woman, obviously, is the Virgin Mary, and the child is Jesus of Nazareth, and it's Christ, and he's Christ the Lord, who will rule all nations. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she have a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. Now, that equals approximately 3.5 years, which is the time of the great tribulation. Okay? And she has a place prepared by God. So, notice God's taking care of this woman, 1,200, three score years, and this is the three and a half years of the Great Tribulation. Now, let me say this because this will help you. You have to have God guide you in all truth, or you don't get this. And you know what's wild was? This part about God taking care of the body of Christ during the Great Tribulation, he showed me in just like several days. And just like the coming of the Lord, he showed me in just several days. He made me a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. So let me show you this, and this will help you to understand about this woman. There are several places in Scripture where women are representations of different covenants. Let me show you that. Turn to Galatians 4:22, Amplified Bible. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, Hagar, and one by the free woman, Sarah. But the child of the slave woman was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, while the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of the promise. Now these facts are about to be used by, and this is in parentheses, by me, as an allegory. That is, we'll illustrate by using them. For these women can represent two covenants. One covenant, not only can they do represent two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, where the law was given, that bears children destined for slavery. She is Hagar. And now, verse 25, now Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above, that is the way of faith, represented by Sarah, is free. She is our mother. Okay, now this is obviously in the 12th chapter of Revelation. This is the Virgin Mary, and she, and I believe this is, I have the mind of God on this, that she is a representation of the Abrahamic covenant, all right? And from the Abrahamic covenant is where we get the New Testament believers. And I'm not going to go into that, but I go into it in greater detail on a podcast I did on the Mark of the Beast, which you can go listen to that. Just go to my website, scottparkeronline.com. Click on the blog link, and you can find it there with other podcasts. I put all the podcasts on the end times under that blog link. And all of my podcasts are free to download. All the gospel music, all the gospel songs on my website are free to download. Freely I receive, freely I give. Okay, now go, we'll get to verse 13 after a song. Let's go ahead and put a song here. We'll take a break and put a song here. Let's do Shadow of His Wings by Pamela Pontia.
In the shadow
Okay, Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast in the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. Okay, he's persecuting this woman, which is a representation of the Abrahamic covenant where we get the New Testament church and New Testament believer. The dragon is persecuting the church. And verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Now here again, this is the 3.5 years. You can look at different translations. It'll show you that. This is the 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation that God is taking care of the New Testament church and the believers. Okay. And like I said, I believe Mary is a representation of the Abrahamic covenant from which we get the New Testament believers. And it's during the Great Tribulation, but the devil's still coming after us. Okay. It's not like, oh, we're not going to be tried. We're going to be tried. Now, I don't know how all this is going to play out. And I'm sure it's right there in the scripture, but you know, you can read the Bible and read it until God opens your eyes. I've read over certain scriptures for many years, and then one day God would open it up to me, and I go, "Oh my gosh, right there! I've never read a book in my life that's like the Bible. How the book can be sealed until God opens it up to you." But anyway, I don't know how this is going to play out, but I don't see how God can provide for all of our needs if we can't buy and sell. I mean, sure, He can do supernatural, but He'd have to be doing miracles night and day. I'm not ruling that out. I'm not saying that because I don't know. But in my opinion, I believe God will make a way that we can buy and sell without taking the mark of the beast, because anyone who takes that mark of the beast will be cut off from God. So we need to keep speaking that to our brothers and sisters. Don't ever do it. The temptation is going to be there. It's going to try the whole world. Everyone comes in the world. People that follow God and walk in the scriptures, that pay attention with the word of God, they say, "No, I'm not doing that." Okay? They'd rather let you kill them than take that mark. Okay, but we're going to be tried. But God is going to provide for us, because that's what I've been reading right here. The body of Christ will be taken care of. You know, and I also consider, as the Lord goes forth to conquer all the nations, I believe there will be states where God's people can live and work and buy and sell, and the Antichrist won't be able to enforce the implementation of taking the mark of the beast in certain areas of the world. That's what I believe will happen. We'll see. I'm not saying that's gospel truth. I can't support that with scripture this time. So that's something that I'm putting out there. I don't give my opinion much, but I'm just putting that out there saying that could be one way God does it. The part about the Lord going forth, conquering and taking over nations is clearly written. The part about God taking care of His people, it's clearly written. How He's going to do it, we don't know yet. Just don't take the mark of the beast. God will take care of it. Okay. So, once again, the Lord is going to take over all the nations of the world, starting maybe prior to the Great Tribulation, but definitely during the Great Tribulation. And, you know, God's got all this worked out, so we just need to dedicate our life to the Lord, walk with Him, and He's going to take care of His people. Now, let's look at when the Great Tribulation begins, because if there's anything that you can see with such clarity in the Bible of exactly when an event takes place, it's the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24, 15. When ye therefore shall see, when ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And you can go back and read about that in Daniel, and you'll see what it's talking about. Verse 16, let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. And if you go back and study that, the abomination, I'm not going to get into that for this podcast, it'll be too long. The abomination of desolation is when the man of sin walks into the temple of God and proclaims that he is God. So verse 15 says, when this event takes place, then six verses later it says, this event will begin. Let's look at that. Verse 21, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So when this happens in verse 15, then this will happen in verse 21. When the abomination of desolation takes place, then the great tribulation will begin. It is so clear. Just go back and read those verses. Because it goes from 15, it says, when this happens. And then it talks about you better flee the mountains and let him that's on the housetop not go down. I can't remember all the other things it says. And then 6 verses later says, then shall be great tribulations. You just put them together and there it is. Okay, let's read verse 21 the Christian Standard Bible. For at that time there will be great distress, the kind that hasn't taken place from the beginning of the world until now and never will again. This will be the hardest time the human race has ever gone through. Even men's hearts failing them for fear as they see all these things coming on the earth. And you can read about all these things in greater detail in Matthew 24 as you go through the whole chapter. Look at Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. It's Michael the archangel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at the same time. And at that time, now look at this. This is the great tribulation. Thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, I believe this is the book of life. Now, let's look at how the Lord is here again. This is another confirmation of telling you the Lord is coming after the great tribulation. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of earth born. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay? This is getting caught up in the air, folks. Look at verse 31 again, Christian Standard Bible. And he shall send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect. So the Lord's coming immediately after the tribulation. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. See, the trumpet blows. The dead in Christ are going to rise first to meet the Lord in the sky. All right. Does it get any plainer? This is the rapture, which takes place immediately after the great tribulation. Being caught up from one end of the sky to the other. People from all over the world are going to go up into the sky in a blaze of glory. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I can't, but it's going to be glorious. Now, look at the people that have had their souls restored and God pours out his spirit upon them and how strong they are right before the coming of the Lord. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. The day of the Lord cometh, for it is not him. Okay, the Lord's about to come. People of the land are going to tremble when the people of God are raised up. Okay? A day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds, thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there have not been ever the like. Neither shall there be any more after them, even the years of many generations. A great people and strong. These are the people of God right before the Lord comes. Before their face, the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather darkness or blackness. I'm going to tell you, folks, people of the world, those that haven't received Christ, they're going to be scared of us. And they're either going to join us or get away from us. Verse 7. Now, this is God's people. They shall run like mighty men. This is the body of Christ. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march, everyone in his ways, and shall not break their ranks. Go to verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The earth and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw its shining. Now, the sun and the moon being dark is another sign the Lord is about to come. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp. His camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? And, you know, some of you say, well, I can't run on the walls and jump through the windows and do some of the things written here. Well, let me tell you something. I've heard men and women that though they were old and didn't get around as good as they used to, yet they could pray like lions, and their prayers are effective. So don't count yourself out. All right? Okay, turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Okay, this is obviously the child Jesus of Nazareth. He shall be called the Mighty God. Why? He is the Mighty God. But he had to be born a child. He had to come and he had to take a human body and he had to grow up and become a man and die for all of us. There's nothing greater in the world of what than this good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The Lord God was manifest in the flesh, walked among us, and then died for us. Verse 7, of the increase of his government, Christ's government, and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. See, Christ said of the seed of your seed, David, will I sit upon thy throne. By the fruit of thy body shall I sit upon your throne, David. So, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Man, my throat's itchy. To order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see how this is going to come to pass about the government of the Lord increasing? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The Lord of the warfare will come forth riding upon a white horse, conquering all the nations. And it will be through the body of Christ. All right? See, we just read the Lord will utter his voice in Joel before his army, and we will go forth together. And all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You saw that in Revelation. Folks, we haven't seen anything yet. Strongest people ever walk the face of the earth will be raised up, and we will preach this everlasting gospel during the great tribulation, and the greatest revival in the history of the human race will come forth, and the Antichrist will be destroyed, and Christ the Lord shall rule forevermore. Let me check for time. Oh, this is good. I thought this would be quite a bit longer. Thank God. Boy, I packed a lot of stuff in this podcast. A lot of truth here. And, you know, I just want to tell all of you out there, put your trust in God. Don't be afraid of going into the great tribulation. Now, it should make you get closer to God than you ever had. Okay? Because, you know, if you believe that you're just waiting for the Lord to come and he's going to take us away, and then you don't believe you even really have to get prepared for the Lord, you're saved, he's coming to get you. You know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. If you read Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, and the wise, their lamps were full of oil, and the foolish, their lamps would run out of oil, and the wise were ready when the Lord came, and they entered in. And the foolish were not ready, and the door was shut. And they said, Lord, Lord, open on us. And he said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Now, the only difference you can see between the wise and the foolish is the wise's lamps were full of oil, and the foolish weren't. Now, that oil, you can see places in the scripture, oil is a type of the anointing of the Spirit of God. Their lamps, the wise virgins, their lamps or their hearts were full of the Spirit, and they were ready for the Lord to come. And see, I've taught this about the bottles. As you get a new bottle, the Spirit won't leak out of you, and that's the new creature of Christ. And so if you want to get prepared for the coming of the Lord, you want to be a new creature in Christ. You want to get your heart formed, and I've shared that in other audios. See, God's putting all this together. It's apostle prophets ministry that rebuild the hearts. Another ministry come in and build upon that foundation. And becoming a new creature in Christ, becoming a new man, the bottle has to be rebuilt. The heart has to be rebuilt so you can hold the Spirit. And once you can hold the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, another scripture to show you about getting prepared for the Lord is the Lord is going to present to himself, it's Ephesians 5, a bride without spot or wrinkle. So all the spots and the blemishes are going to be purged out. That's part of getting rid of the old man, and that's part of getting the new man formed. And people that let God get rid of the old man, form the new man, have a new bottle, they can hold the Spirit, and they'll be ready when the Lord comes. Okay? So, if you're sitting there thinking, I don't have to go to the tribulation, you're not. You may not be getting prepared at all. And you're not getting prepared just knowing when the Lord comes. Okay? And not only that, but once you see that we're going through the tribulation, that how much more that'll get you to get prepared, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Learn how to wrestle the devil in prayer. Learn how not to be moved by affliction so you won't go in there and everything tossing. You won't go into the great tribulation, everything tossing you around. So, and then, of course, they've taught the doctrine that once you receive Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, old things pass away. That is just not true. And I can prove that with many, many scriptures. Why? You know how I saw that wasn't true? Because I saw all the changes that took place in the heart of the believers after they already received the Lord. And, of course, I asked the Lord many years ago because I received the Lord and I still had rebellion in my heart, murmuring. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, and I was around the charismatics and they taught I had a whole new heart. And I thought, well, Lord, what's wrong with me? And he began to show me. I won't get into all the details, but I saw that one of the things I saw was I was not a new creature in Christ yet. Hell, you don't even start to deal with your old sinful nature until you're baptized in water. Not when you receive Jesus. And then you come out of the water and it says, reckon the old man dead. So you have to keep using your faith. Then it tells you later in the sixth chapter, don't yield your members to sin. That's the old man. Then it tells you in the seventh chapter that that old man will rule over you because of the law of Moses. And you'll have trouble doing things you would not. And you'll have trouble doing things you're supposed to do. And then it says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death at the end of the chapter? Then he goes into the eighth chapter. I know I'm going fast. I guess I better slow down. Then it goes into the eighth chapter and it says there's no condemnation when you're walking after the Spirit because that's the best you can do. And then when you do that, the next verse says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. And then you go on, continue in the eighth chapter. And as you continue to be set free from the law of sin and death, then you can get to where you can stay filled with the Spirit more. It goes later in the chapter and says, the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not in the flesh. That's talking about He rules inside of you. And it talks about in the 8th chapter 13 verse, it says, we through the Spirit do put to death, if we through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the flesh, we shall live, but if we don't, we die. And then it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. See, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, putting to death the old man. More you put to death the old man, the more you can stay filled with the Spirit, and then you get to where you walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you, God will lead you right out of bondage, and He'll recreate your heart, rebuild your heart, but you need the apostle prophet's ministry. I think I talked about that last week before that. And like I said, you know, I can't remember all these things because, well, my memory is still being healed, but I work all the time, 6 days a week, and I'm putting together these podcasts on the run. Sometimes I don't even get the mind of God what to speak on till the night before. I spend hours putting this together. But anyway, I know what I'm talking about. I have understanding of what I'm talking about. And like I said earlier, I'm not here to say, you know, okay, just believe what I say. I'm here to minister knowledge and understanding, and the words of God are all plain to him that understandeth. And I want to lay it out there so you can look at it with your eyes. Right there in the Bible, you go, oh my God, that's what it says. It is plain. It is plain. And so you don't have to go, well, minister, you know, you don't have to say my name and say, hey, so-and-so said this. You can say the Bible says this, and you can go teach them. All right? And so anyway, that's all I've got for today's podcast. in the area of teaching. Now I'm going to shift gears into the work of an evangelist. If there's any person out there that's never been saved, you've never been born again, and it's a process. I know the body of Christ doesn't teach that. I'm speaking to those that are listening in that are members of the body of Christ. But I'm going to tell you that I've never seen the Lord. It's not a one-time experience. You receive the Lord. Spirit of Christ enters into you. God starts a good work in you, making a new creature out of you. But if you've never been saved, you've never started a work of grace of being born of the Spirit and of the Word of God, I want you to say this prayer. I want you to say this prayer. God will confirm to you that He's real. He will. He will manifest Himself to you if you will keep His words. And so you don't have to live in fear of all the things that are coming upon the earth. God will reveal Himself to you, and He will convince you He's with you, and we can live in boldness in the days to come. But it starts with being saved and born again. So say this prayer after me. Or just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive You. Your Word says if I confess You with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead, I shall be saved. So I confess You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I receive You as my Savior, and I confess You as my Lord. Do that right now. Jesus, I confess You as my Lord. I receive You. Say it. Jesus, I receive You as my Savior. You say, what about sin? He'll deal with your sins. You couldn't remember them all right now anyway. So don't worry about it. Believe the gospel. Believe. All right? So if you've said that prayer and you meant it, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you. And as you hold fast to, you continue to believe that Jesus died and He was buried and He rose again. Read the Word of God out loud. Start practicing the faith. Start practicing the Word of God. Start loving your neighbor if you don't already. Some people do things that are written in the Bible and don't even know it. But love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do good unto them that come against you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And let me tell you, those that want to retaliate to those that come against us, like those that those and people like them that like this person that assassinated Charlie Kirk, don't render evil for evil, but contrariwise blessing. You know, one thing that helped me a long time ago was Psalm 145. Because I saw there that I could praise God and I could pray this prayer, and I didn't have to be the one that decided how to judge these people and what judgment to come upon them. You know, it says, let the high praise of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance on the heathen and punishments upon the people, to execute upon them the judgment written. And I prayed that, and I prayed that many times. And then God chose how to judge those people. You know why? Because there's some people out there God can bring to repentance, and they can be saved and turn from their sins and be saved and have eternal life. Some people, God knows, they'll never be saved, and they'll just go and they'll continue to do harm, and God could decide, I'm taking them off the face of the earth. They're not going to be saved. They're not going to turn to Me. They've hardened their heart, and they refuse. They reject the love of the truth. And they want to have pleasure in unrighteousness, and they won't come to Me. He will wipe them out and just put them in hell. And don't feel sorry for those people, because God gives every. There's no person that slips through the hands of God and goes to hell. If they went there, it's because God gave them every chance to be saved, and He finally gave them up. I could teach that to you through Scripture. Okay, there are ministering spirits, angels that go forth and protect every person that God knows someday will be saved. And He does not allow them to die until they're saved. And so He can take them to heaven. And there are those that He knows will not be saved. He didn't foreordain it. He wishes that not one would perish, but they just won't receive the Lord. They reject the Lord. It's terrible for them, but that's what they chose. But I prayed that Psalm 149. And I remember I prayed that one time, and I had a bunch of people at work coming against me. And I watched the next week, a manager got fired and another manager got transferred. I watched God scatter my enemies left and right by praying that prayer. I had one time I prayed, I said, what was that prayer? Divide, O Lord, or something about divide their tongues, O Lord. And I had two people coming against me, and God divided their tongue. and they start speaking against each other. And then they got away from me or quit persecuting me. I'm telling you, let God lead you in your prayers. And don't want harm for anybody. Let God be the judge. Let God be the judge of everybody. Because His judgment is righteous. All right. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.